Okay, so basically you have this, we're doing, I guess, the Mishnah. Okay? So it's Machlokas. So basically there's a, in Shechita there's a psal called Shehiyah. Okay? Shehiyah means is that you're not allowed to wait in the middle of a Shechita. Okay? If you pause in the middle, so then it's getting apostles. So how long? Right, obviously an instantaneous second pause or whatever is in the psal. So what's the shir? So it turns out there's a machlokas. The first shita Tana Kama learns is kedei shchita, the amount of time that it takes at the shchita. Right, amount of time it takes at the shchita. Okay, so that we said just on the surface is like, look, it has to be a significant pause. So what's significant? So in the framework of Shechita, the Kedei Shechita is significant. That's a significant amount of time. You're not going to measure it by the amount of time it takes to boil an egg or something. You measure it by the Kedei Shechita. Can't say that's not a significant amount of time because you see Kedei Shechita in that amount of time. So that's a reasonable shear for a significant pause. The other Shechita learns, no. It's the amount of time it takes, or Shimon, from Shechita Kedei Bikur. The amount of time that it takes to check, Rashi says, means to check the knife. That this part of Shechita, oftentimes you usually do it before, sometimes afterwards, is to check the knife to make sure it doesn't have a nick on it. So, you know, at the time it takes to check the knife. Which we thought is probably a little bit less than the Shechita. Shechita involves, at least the way we hold, involves taking down the animal and checking it. So that's like a little bit more of a process. To check the knife, you just, let's say, run your fingernail over the knife or something like that. So that's the machlokas. Is it kedei shchita or kedei bikur? Right. In theory, the Gemara asks kedei bikur. Bikur, you're gonna have to bring it to a chacham to check. That could take who knows how far away the chacham is. So it says no. It's assuming the guy who is doing the shchita knows how to check. Knows how to check the knife. So the bikur takes. You know, he's right there. So however long it takes, and that's the shira of the shira. So the question is, could we say anything about the machlokas? Right. What's the What's the difference conceptually between these two shita? And I think the Rambam learns kedei bikur doesn't mean checking the knife, he means checking the simanim afterwards to see the pipes, to check that you cut over them. Okay, that's whatever, but it's a similar type of thing. Yeah, so he says, I'm just reading the Rambam just to get some background on that checking. So it's an Aleph Chaf Gimel and Shechita Shochet Shoch Shidok Asakin Mechuda. And it's like Umitzadzim, Umitzadzim. So you have to check the blade, the point of it, and also on the two sides, I guess, because I guess those are also involved in the shechita, the sides of the knife. Okay, the kitza about how do you do it? Malicho mevia al besaret ba'o, malicho mevia al tziporno. So he puts it on his finger and then on his fingernail. Mishalosh ruchoseha, shein pia v'shnei tzadim kedei shelo yeh ba pigam klavak v'shava. So maybe it means, it's a little bit confusing, but maybe it means on the side of it, you can just rub your finger on the side of it. On the blade, you can't run your finger, you're going to cut your finger open. So you use your fingernail. Imagine like your nail is pretty strong, so you just run it, I think that's what they do. Run it over their fingernail. So you kind of imagine, put it on your fingernail and just slide it. So it's not, you don't put any pressure, so it's not going to cut through your fingernail, but at the same time, it's very sensitive. So you'll feel if there's like if there's a bump, if there's a little nick, you'll feel like a your fingernail go in and out a little bit. You know, somehow I seem to remember someone saying they'd use their tongue or something like that, but I don't know. Sounds a little crazy, but I don't know.
On the side?
No, I don't know. Whatever, let's not go there. I don't know. And then it says, Sarach libda kin achar shchita. So you have to check after shchita, shematza bach pegam, achar shchita, or is yourself in the vela? If you find the pegam, then it's yourself in the vela, shema ba'ar nefgema, because shachar asman and besakim beguma shachar. So then you don't know where, if you find it afterwards, you're not sure whether what made the nick. Did it come from the skin? It came from the skin, then it's the one time you cut the simanim, it was a pagam, had a problem. If it's made by the bone, let's say, afterwards, then you're okay. So it's a suffix. The fika chashuchi ben was rabo, so ofos rabin, so lived up in kalachas vachas. So if you shot many of them, you should check in between each one. Shem lo badak, badak archon of nimsa second beguma, kol seven veils of ilarishona. If you don't check it in between each one, so then it's going to turn out that you're going to have, let's say, shot 100, and you find the nick at the end of the thing, there are 100 of them, they're going to be suffering nevela. So it's not intelligent to do that. Yeah. Fine. Chen and Pasha v'lo badka. Let's say you didn't do bedika. Osha of the hasakin. Hachelo yevdok she does a share. So let's say you lose the knife before you get to check in. So that's kasha. You could assume. So you don't have to assume you have to check it, but if whatever reason is lost, it's okay. Okay. So I'm not sure really how they do it nowadays, if they do it in between each one. I'm not really sure how it's done. But whatever. That's what I'm thinking, and we can talk about your svaras also. I'm not sure. I'm going a different way than you guys are going. But I like your ways also. So let me just present what I'm saying throughout another approach, and then we'll see. See, but I'm learning him as very different. Rabbi Shimon is very different than Tanna Kamma. Okay? And I'm learning like this. See, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's the only din of Shehiya is where it's like a significant break. Okay? You can always pause. Pausing is normal. Nothing wrong with pausing. As long as it's not significant. What's the significant? Well, the significant time is the entire time of Kadesh Lita. That's significant. Less than that is like is considered insignificant in the context of Shlita. It's a small amount of time. Shlita is an official amount of time. It's given the amount of time. And anything less than that we'll say is like an insignificant break. An insignificant break isn't Shia. That's not a psalm. Okay. Rabbi Shimon really, I want to say, questions that premise. He, in theory, would say, I don't care if it's insignificant. Any break. Okay, I'm going to take a step back, but he really, his general trend is that really any break. Why? Who said she has to be significant? I mean, any break in theory could be a psalm. So she, the only thing is that, let me take an example. Let's say in the Rambam's, Shita, right? The Rambam's, the way he learns Kadebika means you check the Simanim to make sure they're cut, right? So what are you going to do? You're going to shech the animal, and then you're going to check and make sure the simanim are cut, right? Now, let's say they aren't cut. Then what are you going to do? So then you're going to go back and finish the cut, right? So now, what are you going to tell me? That's shia? So then I can never fix it, right? So it's like, you can't, there's shia, the psal shia can't exclude the possibility of, like, correcting the shlita. But Shehiya has to be more than is like than Shechita necessitates. Because the activity itself necessitates within it minor pauses. So let's say to check the knife or to check the simanim. That's that much you can't say is a psal Shehiya because that's part of the way you do the activity. Is certain activity itself has a pause, like in service of the activity. So that amount of time can't be a psal. But anything, once it's more than the amount of time it takes to check the activity itself, like a self-checking thing, that's a Shia. It's a short amount of time, I don't care, it doesn't matter. So whereas Rabbi the Tanna Kamma's position was that Shia is a significant break in the thing, and small breaks are okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, the only breaks that are okay are, so to speak, necessary breaks, or these man for necessary breaks. So in Rashi, it's a little harder to see, but I'm not so sure how the knife works. But like, let's say I want it. In theory, you'd think Shochtim check the knife beforehand, even though you have to check it also afterwards. I mean, it would be silly for you to do a Shechita without checking your knife beforehand. You don't want to, I mean, maybe you have to also check it afterwards, but you want to check it before and make sure you're using a good knife. So let's say I'm about to do Shechita, I start doing the Shechita, and then I realize, let's say before I get into this amount of Marzan or something like that, let's say I realize, oh, I forgot to check the knife. So now you stop and you check the knife. So now we say that's Shia. So then that came, that's part of the Shechita. So there's the idea is that checking a knife, checking, the idea of Bedika is like sometimes Bedika could be part of the Shechita itself, and that Bedika can't be called the Shia. It's part of the process itself. So therefore, what he did is, but how do you kasher it? How do you allow for that? It's a Shia. Who cares why you're doing Shia? There's no halacha of why. So the way you correct the layout for that is that you make the shear of Shehiya is more than it takes to do a Dika. And that's the shear. You know, but he's like, he's minimalistic about it, though. He's like only allowing as much as is necessary for the Western service of the Shechita itself. Whereas the Shimon is holding, the Tanna Kamma, the way we hold is that Shehiya has to be a significant pause. It's not any pause, any unnecessary pause, but it's only where it's a significant pause. Where I'm really interrupting. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's going, like, the whole premise, the way we learn the Tanakhama, the starting point, the only thing we said about Tanakhama, I mean, without all the details, which we did, is that he holds that a pause has to be significant. That was like his main idea. And the Shechita does a significant amount of time. It was like his premise. So what I'm saying is Rabbi Shimon is questioning that very premise. He's saying, well, who's that? Who said that a Shechita has to be significant? Why should that be? Right. So it's true, though, he can't make it nothing because of the Vedika problem. So therefore he minimizes it. The other way to go, the way that you guys are going, see, I'm saying is that Rav Shimon's questioning the premise that it has to be significant. You guys are saying he agrees with the premise that it has to be significant. But there's one way to be significant is because it's a time to do Shechita. Or you could say, like, I guess what Levi and Jay were trying to argue, is that, well, no, it could be a significant amount of time. The amount of time that you could do, like, a component of Shechita is also significant. So, so checking the knife is a component of Shechita, checking the stone is a component. So that could also be a significant break. Not necessarily the amount of time it takes to do Shechita, the whole thing, but like a part of Shechita, that's also the amount of time. Or what Matt was saying is this could be significant, the break could be significant because it's like an amount of time where you could like do the closer of Shechita. Closer of Shechita, like after you do Shechita, you check the knife, you check the whatever. So once you wait an amount of time that you could do the closing, the finishing touch of Shechita, that's like a significant break. But they're both like in the way that kind of accepting the premise that of the Tanakhama that has to be significant, you know, and just saying like alternate methods, which are shorter ways to have a significant gap, right? Whether it's a component or a closer, whichever, you know. I'm saying is that Rabbi Shimon really goes very far away. He's saying, no, I don't buy the whole premise of significant break. And that's just because the Shechita has to be built in to allow for that. That's not defined as a break. That's, if that meant the time is defined as like in service of that very activity itself, it's not a break. But it's the amount of time, I guess it's saying it doesn't mean only if you actually do that, since if you, that's the amount of time it takes to check it, so that amount of time is really like part of in service of the process itself. You know, so that part is like built into the process itself that you have those kinds of gaps in. It's true, I'm going to have to say that when it says Kedei Bikur Taba Chacham, it means more than that is the psalm. It's that plus a mashu, and which is basically that, and whatever. It means if you do more than that. And it doesn't say that, but I mean, the difference between those two is almost, infinitely a mashu. So I'm saying is that's basically the line. But it's like ad b'chal, ad b'chal, ad b'chal. Yeah, it means it's, it doesn't, slav dafka means more than that is the thing. So that's the way it says it. It says Kedei Bikur, but it doesn't mean, I mean, it's different. I guess the one is going to be the Shechita, so he holds it's exactly the Shechita. But this one is going to be a little bit more.
But yeah, so what's the implication of Kedei then?
Well, I'm just saying that's what it means. I'm saying Lav Dafka. That's the way you say it. There's no other way to say it. It's not going to be a Shira then and right, Masha. But, so. But it means, I'm saying is like, it's a saying it is, world, that. What I'm saying is like this. Is like, let's say the Ram, what the Ram learns. I'm saying is that, like, it doesn't make sense, of course. Like, part of the thing is when you do the Shechita, you check to make sure you did the right amount. So he's saying is, well, you check to do the right amount, and then it's going to turn out you have to, that's it, it's possible. If it's too little, then you can't correct it. What I'm saying is the Shear allows for correcting the thing. So that's why it's, but if you can tell me it's exactly that amount, then it's going to turn out, then it's uncorrectable. So then what's the point of checking? I guess just to make sure it's kosher, but not that it's possible to correct it. I think the real problem in this, and this is defined as Mahalagas, is that you're not given any information about the Svar for Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara doesn't say, my time to Rabbi Shimon, I perused the Rishonim and I didn't see anybody saying anything. It's like, we don't hold like him, and no one really seems to care much about him.
Is there anything in the Yerushalmi?
I don't know. I looked in the Masifta, and it didn't quote it, you know, I looked in the whatever, but I mean, I'm not sure exactly what I looked in, I forgot. It's been a little bit. But I mean, I looked around. I tried to see if I could find stuff, and I basically said I couldn't find anything. So I don't know. You could do it, with, you know, you could try something more thorough. But in the general, oftentimes, the Gemara, the Rishonim, and whatever don't take up a Shita's Tana, Hushalok Elchasa. I mean, sometimes Gemara does, but when it doesn't, it's like, it's not so common that Rishonim go and do that for you, you know? It's like, whatever, they don't care so much. We don't like him. And the Gemara takes up a little bit, but. But
Why?
Because, I mean, in general, like, the Rishonim, the most, the major interest of the Rishonim is Psak. It's like,
you don't ever hold Agar Rishonim?
Oh, not in this case. Okay. And in this case, you don't. Like, for instance, in Rishonim, Masechtos, like, Kajim Masechtos, which are not practical these days, in the time of the Rishonim. There are very, very few Rishonim. They focus their energies on things which have nafkminas, which have shilos, which have psak. So I mean, it's not to say there's nothing to do with, you know, you can learn anything, but it's just they have a limited amount of time and energy, so they're largely focused on areas which have practical psak implications. So they just didn't spend a lot of time on figuring out what shita sort for Rishimon. We don't like Rishimon, see clear here all day long at Rishimon, but sometimes they even use that as a principle of psak. Sometimes they say Gemara is usually, that's what we usually paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda versus whatever. But if the Gemara, like at length, tries to figure out the reason for our position, sometimes the Rishonim say, oh, that shows we hold like him. So there's why the Gemara go at length and to figure it out. It's like, you don't have to spend that long on the Shita, if you look at Al-Khasas, but if your focus is like a Psak oriented thing. So I'm just saying, it's like there's not much there. And, you know, so there's not much on anything. It's a Shir. So it's just a little bit hard to come up with svaros. You know, one svaro, you say a significant amount of time. But once you have machlokas, it's in general hard to do machlokas without help. You know, in general, I think we're better off at interpreting Rishonim than just coming up with our own interpretations. For, you know, so, you know, usually they're more speculative. And look, there are a few svaros. You see the fact, like, one indication, the fact that we have a few different svaros on the table here with no real evidence of one or the other, or the other is correct. Like, it indicates that, you know, it's a highly speculative area. And I'm not saying it's not, you can't say anything, but at the same time, it's just worth noting. It's like, you know, it is what it is. It would have been nice. It would have been nice to find Rishonim. I mean, that's my main point. It's always good, if you could, to find Rishonim, find clues. The more grounded your svaras are in either in Rishonim or in clues. Even if it's not necessarily Rishon, but sometimes clues from the way Gemara discusses it, certain details. I mean, the Gemara doesn't talk that much. It's very brief. But, I mean, you see the Gemara originally held, which maybe supports what I was saying a little bit, but no, I don't know. But originally thought that it meant the amount of time it takes to actually go find the Chacham and check it. Then it says, but that's like too subjective, so knock that out. But I guess I would learn that means is that the Gemara basically thought sometimes you have to go and check the thing and then see what happens and then come back and finish it. So that's not Shia. That's going to be Shia. I mean, I go to Chacham. Shaila comes up, Mil Meshchita. I go check it and whatever. And that's what I always, you know what this comes up sometimes? It's always one Jan. I think I saw it once, but I don't know the halacha. But let's say in Mil Shmoneh Esrei and you forget something. You know, so you go, try to like signal like a posek, like, you know. It's like, you always wonder, like, is that a hesek if I say, hey, I forgot Moshe Baruch Hu Mordechai Hashem, do I have to go back? Like, is that, you know? You feel like, in a certain sense, am I really taking away from Shema Esrei? That's like what I'm doing. I'm doing Shema Esrei. That's a hesek in Shema Esrei, you know, I'm supposed to do. You know? Some of you feel like that would be less of a hesek than going, you know, like they're dancing, trying to, you know? So, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, that's not the concept of Shehiyah. The Shehiya is that you can't stop your activity. But certain activities, especially complex halachic activities, involve bedikas in the middle of them at times. So that's the Torah, the Torah's positing a psul of Shehiya. But at the same time, it doesn't want to knock out the ability to self-correct your activity. So that's the way it does it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I like that idea. That's what I'm saying. I don't really have a raya. That's as far, but I kind of hear that idea. You know, it's a nice idea, and I hear that it's a different, totally different idea than Rabbi Shimon, than the Tanakhama. It's like two different ideas about the concept of what the psul she is. You know? So that's what I like about it. And often, Machlokes Tanaim are like different fundamental. You know, I'm not sure how much you go with this, but in general, Machlokes Tanaim are bigger machlokes, and like Amorayim, and like further than the Gemara. The further down you get, the more detailed usually they are.
Isn't that just like
a... I'm saying is like the Torah has to be Koveya Shir. Now the Shir, it's trying to make a Shir for the concept of Shia. The concept of Shia is a pause in the Shechita. But Shechita itself has self-correction. That's part of a process, a complex process, is mistakes and checking and whatever. So therefore, if you're trying to codify the shear of which is considered a break and not just part of the activity itself, so then the appropriate shear is a drop more than it takes to correct it. And beyond that, anything more than that, you'll say, is a pause. Anything less than that, you'll say, is a time which is part of the process itself. So that's the way, through a shear, you're trying to draw a line at which reflects that concept. So it's true, it's based on like a practical thing, but it's pointed less than that isn't really a pause, because that's the amount of time which I do, which I am involved in the checking, correcting the shkita itself. So even if I'm not actually doing that, it's like that amount of time is the time at which a person does do that. People stop all the time that for 2 seconds, because that's, you got to check the knife, or this, or that. Therefore, that amount of time is like part of the process itself. You don't view that as extraneous. But not because it's not a significant amount of time. The first way is like, is it a significant, is it a long time or a short time? It's not long or short. It's that that amount of time is really related to the shechita itself. As opposed to go and shecht another animal, what does shechting another animal have to do with this animal? Why is that? That's like a different concept of a shear, the shear of shechita. This is a speculative type of thing. There's not really much facts here. I just like the idea. It's a nice idea, and, you know, but I'm not that confident that this is what's going on.